Welcome to BridgeCast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topics.
So, the purpose here tonight is to give you opportunity to know what it would feel like, what are the basic parameters, what are the expectations, and to give you an opportunity to stand up and make an attempt to deliver your speech in a practice mode. So I've prepared a few things, and I wouldn't call this a exhaustive list of things that I would recommend in your preparation. There's going to be some things that what we do tonight, you may want to make some adjustments to what you've prepared. And that's the purpose of this, that we get ourselves as ready as we can right now so that if the Lord allows the opportunity for the door to be open for a public hearing, whether at the state house or at the city, the local level, that there would be a people fit, ready for action, and able and willing to go and appeal on behalf, to interpose for the unborn. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Let me run through some recommendations for you, as I've shared with you either in writing or this morning, the preparation, or on Wednesday night, I gave some early instructions on this as well, that you would come tonight prepared with a three-minute speech. The three-minute limitation is basically what you get anytime you address the city council here in Twin Falls, especially if it's an issue that appears to have several people that are there to speak to it. So the state usually gives 3 to 5 minutes, depending, again, upon the number of people who have showed up for that speech. So if we aim for 3 minutes, that's a pretty good amount of time that we should aim for, whether at local, city, or state preparations. I don't want to overemphasize this, but I don't want to just pass by this too easily either. I think that you need to take into consideration, whenever the opportunity is given to us, how you're going to dress for the occasion. I'll tell you this, if the occasion affords us and you're able to get time off, or you're off work on the day that the hearing is scheduled, the legislators will be dressed for the occasion. And it is an expression of respect that you would dress for the occasion as well. Now, does that mean you have to be in a suit and tie like I am? And I would say no, it doesn't require that. But understand the weightiness of what we're appealing. This is not the day to show up in your hoodie and your sandals and your baseball cap, which I'm not pointing anybody out right now. So go ahead and put that hat back on. This is a practice night for this. And so anyone with a hoodie, bless the Lord for hoodies, right? Am I right? Amen? Okay. I don't want to overemphasize that. And listen, at the end of the day, this is your exercise of your free speech. That means you dress however you want to dress, okay? It is yours. It's your day. It's your moment. These are just things that I've observed over the years in my engagement. It really helps if you're at either the city council or the state house that you observe. Be a watcher of people. Listen to the other speeches. You'll be able to recognize those who are speaking with effectiveness and those who are speaking and it's landing. Their tone is all off. They're abusive with their language, with their words. And you can watch the impact upon the legislators or on the city council, how it's impacting them. Now, I'll say that, and then I'll also say this, that when you address something as closely related to the gospel as this is, it will irritate people. So you could do it in the properly dressed, properly expressed tone and still get a response of irritation from those who are listening. But I want to just simply express, I think it's effective that you're an observer. Observe who's effective communicators. All right, when it's your opportunity to speak, Obviously, speaking clearly is critical. Speaking loudly. We're amplified here tonight. You'll be amplified in all other locations that these meetings are at. But it's still important that you speak loudly and that you speak clearly. This is important. This seems, I know we're Americans, right, and we're in the West in America. Do we really need to use proper terms to address those whom we're addressing? And the argument here is this: again, it's your speech. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I guarantee you, this is highly expected that when you address the committee that you'll speak before, if you get that opportunity, or the city council, that it just says something if you address them properly. So in other words, if we end up with a hearing, we get a bill number and we get a hearing, which most likely we're not looking at a hearing probably till late February or early March. But if we're given a hearing to the State Affairs Committee, which is the most likely path for a bill that deals with abortion, the chairman of that committee is Stephen Harris. So it would be the proper way to address him is Representative Harris or Chairman Harris. That's how the other committee members will address him. That would be the proper way you should address him as well. So addressing him as the chairman, so here's what I would do. I would step to the microphone. I would say, "Good evening, Chairman Harris and members of the State Affairs Committee." That would be you'll hear that 100 times that night if there's 100 speakers, but that's the proper way to address them. Now, if we're at a city council meeting, and you know we now have a woman mayor, I've asked the mayor. I had a meeting with her and several pastors in the city on Thursday night, and I asked her, "What is the right way for us to address you?" Because for the last 4 years, I've addressed the mayor as Mr. Mayor, and so is it Mrs. Mayor? What? But it's Madam Mayor. It sounds really odd to come out of our out loud, but is that what you guys will call her now at family dinners? Is Susie. Madam Susie. When you if the opportunity comes to the city council, you need to address the mayor as Madam Mayor and members of the city council. Okay? Introduce yourself. That's an important part of the procedure. Representative Harris and members of the State Affairs Committee, my name is Paul Thompson. I'm a resident in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I've come tonight to address you concerning the Abortion Human Rights Act. Now, that's what we're calling it now. Lord willing, when it gets a bill number, we'll need to refer to it by its bill number. House bill number, whatever it is. If you have family with you, it's just a cordial thing that you would recognize. My wife, Renee, is here with me this evening. And we've come from Twin Falls to address you concerning this matter. It's important that with 3 minutes, obviously, you got to be on point. You got to be driven to hit the time. My encouragement to you is that you be respectful the entire time of using your words. Your words are all you got here. Don't waste them on disrespect and dishonor. You want to represent the Lord. You want to represent your family. You want to be respectful. Be bold. Listen, certainly, you need to use bold language. You don't need to shy away from appealing to the committee. If it's at the committee, you don't need to be afraid to appeal to them to vote yes for this. So be bold. Be factual with your statistics. All right, listen. Nearly everyone who's involved in public speaking, we somewhere along the way hear this statement that about 95% of statistics are made up at the moment. I'm just saying, be factual with your statistics. So if you're going to say so many 100,000, or if you're going to say how many babies were murdered in the city of Twin Falls, you need to be factual with it. You don't need to just give ballpark, you know, numbers rounded up to 500. You can be factual. That just gives weight and credibility to what you're speaking. Be kind. It is appropriate for you to use Scripture. So I'm sure some of you have already done some work on this. You might be asking, is it okay for me to use Scripture? And I'm saying to you, yes, it is. Really, if anything we have to say, it is the authority of Scripture that carries the greatest authority in the room. So don't be afraid to use Scripture, and don't feel obligated to use Scripture. You can use Scripture without quoting the Scripture, but the authority of Scripture is not something you should be afraid of. Don't be afraid to be personal, but also realize you only have 3 minutes. So you can't disclose your whole personality, but don't be afraid to be personal at the same time. So I really want to emphasize this. You need to refrain from calling these people names. You want to. They may even deserve being called names, but not in this kind of setting. This is a hearing. It's not a debate. It's a night for them to hear from the citizens. So refrain from calling them names. Refrain from demanding they do what you elected them to do. Just refrain from demanding expectations. Appeal to them. Appeal to their conscience. But think of it. How well does it go over when people demand anything of you? You do not need to give, or you do not get to give your time to anyone, so you cannot yield your extra 30 seconds, Renee, to anyone. They're your 30 seconds. You got to find a way how to deal with those 30 seconds. So you got to aim for it and go for it. End your appeal. Okay, there's a couple of things you need to do when you end your appeal. One of them I didn't get written down here. It's pretty critical. You need to ask them, in your appeal, in your conclusion, you need to say, again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, and I'm here appealing that you vote in favor of the Abortion Human Rights Act. Okay? It's important that you tell them what you're appealing them to do, the action you want them to do. It will be pretty clear by most of the speeches what you're wanting them to do. But don't go out of the speech without clearly articulating, it is my desire that you would vote in favor of the Abortion Human Rights Act or House Bill number. Also, when you end your appeal, this is pretty effective that you just close it. One thing I've observed is that not everyone who says, do you have any questions that I need to clarify from what I've asked you to do, not every time does that engage further dialogue and conversation. But it is an opportunity to give you more time to speak and to appeal to their conscience. So you might consider in your conclusion saying, do you have any questions that I can clarify for you in what I've just asked you to do? That's just a consideration that you might include. And then if you are, so there's procedure, if you are asked a question, so say a representative wants to ask you a clarifying question, then before you answer, so it's a clunky little procedure. You need to address the questioner through the chairman. So let's say Representative Chuck Castle asked me a question, and Representative Matt Vosser is the chairman. I would need to say, Chairman Vosser, is it all right if I reply to Representative? And don't do what I'm doing right now. What is your name again? Don't do that. Is it all right if I respond to the question from Representative Castle? And he's going to say yes. But that's the procedure. And listen, if you don't do that, they're not going to cuff you and throw you out. But just know, there is some procedure to the event. And that's just part of the clunkiness of it, all right? So, and then it's important that you thank the committee, that you thank the city council for the opportunity to speak. They're not granting you permission to exercise your First Amendment, but being grateful for the opportunity goes a long way in the appeal. All right, on the flip side of that, let me just make a few other quick observations and let's get with it. If you arrive at the State House, there will be a registry for you to sign. You need to sign your name, give your address. And at the State House, they're going to ask, are you for or against the bill? So just make sure. Listen, if you're against the bill, make sure you mark, I'm against it. Mark for it if you're for it. And then there will be a spot that they're going to ask, are you here to speak for or against the bill? And so you'll need to make that mark on the front end of the hearing. So just put an X by the yes, I wish to speak. And then you become part of the routine. They'll just go by who signed up first to who signed up last. If you don't want to speak, but you still want to be counted as one who wants the representatives to vote in favor of the bill, then just simply mark the side you do not wish to speak to the bill. All right, it's very similar to city council, only they're not going to ask a lot more details. They're just going to want to know who you are and what your address is. And so a lot of times at the city, they won't require that on the front end, but they do ask that you do that before you leave, just so it's a public record. All right? When you're in the audience, I think this is really important as well, that when you're sitting next to someone who does not agree with you, it will happen. I spoke several years ago concerning the Add the Words campaign, which is back in track for argumentation before representatives, but I'm sitting in a room packed full of transgendered drag queen citizens from across the state. It's really important that you sit as a respectful citizen to someone who's really different than you. I can't express that enough. And if you're in conversation with someone next to you and you're ridiculing someone who's speaking against a bill, it just doesn't go well. And remember, this is not a night for debate. This is a night to appeal to the conscience of the representatives. So during a public hearing, there will not be time given for applause and speeches that are given. In some occasion, especially if it's just a full room, if it's just packed full, just follow the lead of the representative, the chairman of the committee, or the mayor of the council, and they'll inform you, we don't want any applause or we don't want any disruptions along the way, because that just makes the night even longer. So just be respectful of that. If they don't ask it, then why not applaud for everyone who asks them to act in favor of it? But trust me, they will eventually ask the audience to not do that. So again, this is not a time for debate. This is a hearing. Those are radically different. The committee or the council have invited the citizens. Again, the invitation is not theirs to give to you. It is your privilege. It is your right to speak to these things. But again, you want to treat them with respect and appreciate that they have made an allowance for you to exercise your First Amendment. Of course, at the end of the conversation, you are not bound to do anything that I'm recommending you here. You have the complete liberty to exercise your First Amendment however you decide in your own liberty to do so. Bless the living God. Amen. Hey, guard your tongue while you're in the hallways and in conversation with others around you. It's very similar to when you're sitting in the chamber, in the committee room. You want to be careful how you speak. You want to be careful that you're not speaking in arrogance or pride and being unnecessarily rude to those who are opposed. So let your speech be a representation of your God, ultimately. All right? All right, so who's speaking tonight? I need to see some hands so I know who to be calling on here in a few moments. And all right.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.